from spooky legends past, down through generations, to haunted locations that hold a ghostly past. Come one, come all, come finders and seekers, hear the creepy side of Neva.
Welcome to The Creepy Side of NEPA. I am Dan Kozlowski. Before we get into tonight's episode, I'd just like to welcome all of our listeners, and remember, if you haven't already, please like, subscribe, or follow The Creepy Side of NEPA on whichever podcast platform that you're listening to us on. Also, don't forget to follow WNEP's Creepy Side of NEPA on Facebook. That is the best way to keep up to date with the latest show information. Joining us this evening, retired New York City Police Officer Chris DeFlurio. Chris is a paranormal investigator and demonologist, dealing more in the dark side of the paranormal. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dan. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So, Chris, usually I ask the guests when we first start talking is, how did you get interested in the paranormal? Because it seemed like you were a police officer in New York City, right?
Yeah, I just retired. I was there for 20 years. You know, I've always had an interest in, you know, in the paranormal. I always enjoyed the movies growing up. My wife, same thing. And the way we got into this was basically it started in a mission trip in Africa. I wasn't expecting to get into this kind of field. But when I was on in Rwanda specifically, I saw a man who was possessed in the middle of a marketplace. And that experience, you know, opened my eyes up to this kind of field, because before that I was doing ministry. I have a Catholic faith, so I was doing ministry with the homeless. You know, there's a spirituality obviously there, and when I saw this, it opened up the other side to the paranormal side. I would say that started a whole different path.
So how long ago was that?
That was 2018 when that started. And then when I came back home, you know, I started reading all the books on it, specifically from the Catholic exorcists and people who were working in the demonology field before me, and learning everything I could. And I would say less than a year later, we had a very profound event, my family and I, in Florida, when this really, I guess, was the clincher. We took my daughter to Florida for her sweet 16 with three other friends, and it was a beautiful hotel resort in Orlando, but it ended up that the room was haunted and the girls were being terrorized for a couple of nights. And there were many events that happened there that, you know, led me to where I am right now.
I know just from having different guests on the show in the past in different locations throughout our area, it seems like there's a lot of haunted hotels out there.
You know, the more I researched after that, you're absolutely right. And I think a major reason is because you have to look at who's coming. I mean, you have different kinds of people with different beliefs, different lives constantly. And who knows what intentionally or unintentionally they're bringing into these hotels. And I believe that's what happened in Orlando. You know, you can have people, you know, you have people, so just say Catholics, they have their belief, but then you have people who practice other spiritual beliefs.
Sure.
And so this can start like a, you know, it could start a whole different, a bunch of different activity in these rooms.
And you have that, just that pure amount of people going to those same rooms.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, whenever we go away, we bless the room. I'll bless the hotel room wherever I go, because exactly. You don't know. I mean, there's how many people coming in and out consistently.
So you mentioned your wife. Are you guys a team investigators?
Yes. I started out on my own doing this, and she, you know, saw that I was basically, you know, it's a tough job to do on your own. There's a lot of different aspects to what you have to look for. You know, you have to watch the family. You have to watch what's going on. You have to set up equipment, a blessing. And there was no one who would go with me, you know, not even the church. And, you know, she, you know, being my wife, she was always with me side by side in every ministry I've done. And you know, she saw how serious it was and the effect it was having on me. And she joined me a short time later. And we had a very big case that was in the news in Connecticut in 2021. And that seemed to be the one that really solidified her, you know, staying as my partner in this, because there was a lot of demonic activity in that case.
So it seems like just the last few years that you have been doing this, you've seen a lot.
I'll tell you, it was amazing, because it seems like God prepared a path where I started off with, you know, after the haunting in Florida, which was, you know, there was pretty good activity there. But when I started to go into these cases, specifically full time, it started off very slow. You know, they were very, it was kind of like I was being prepared. And then after we had the Connecticut case, there were a lot of cases with a lot of activity. And the things we've seen, you know, some are out of Hollywood. Sometimes they're not even as dramatic, but just as scary. But we've seen a lot that would really open people's eyes.
Do you think it's scarier being a New York police officer or a paranormal investigator?
You know, it's funny. I get asked that a lot, and it's probably scarier doing this, getting into this kind of field of demonology, paranormal, because, you know, when I was a cop, and we did some, it was very dangerous. You know, you'd be chasing, there were times where I would chase somebody on my own, you know, maybe with a gun, maybe from a shooting, and I would chase them up into a building. I was just talking with an old partner of mine in Texas about that. He goes, remember when you used to, you know, we did some wild stuff back then in the early 2000s. And that, at least I know what I'm dealing with. I could see, you know, the assailant. I could see what I'm dealing with. In this, you really have to use your senses, because you don't always see what you're dealing with. And it could be a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, that's definitely understandable, especially dealing with things you can't see.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're dealing specifically in our trade, we're dealing with the demonic. That's the call. That's the majority of the calls I get. And, you know, knowing, you know, a lot from the Catholic faith, I know what I'm dealing with, what kind of demons at times. Again, the Connecticut case, we were dealing with a specific demon, which is very powerful. And we had to go back about three or four times, I think four times. And, you know, this thing was targeting a four-year-old little girl. So you really have to take, and that's where I think the police training really helped me with this, and paramedic, to learn those investigative skills and how to deal with, how to smoke it out sometimes and see what I'm dealing with.
Well, before we get started in any of your investigations, I have a question. You deal mostly in possessions?
Well, actually, the opposite. I deal mostly with demonic infestations and oppressions, I would say. We have had some possessions.
Okay.
So I've seen them.
What is something that makes it stand out differently from a normal, say, haunting to a something more demon?
Well, you got to look at the way I take it. So basically, I'm a religious demonologist. So it's a little different. It's in the same kind of area that you would have a paranormal investigator, but I'm taking it from the side of faith and theology. So there are things that I do when I go to test, as if you will, what I'm dealing with. So if I go into a house and I have say there's a spirit there, mm-hmm. and I can see there's an aversion to sacred objects or sacred, you know, prayers, and I have the activity gets amped up, I know I'm dealing with a demon, because they're the ones through history that we know are going to be agitated by this. And you're going to have different signs, different actions in the home. And this happens the majority of the time. So, you know, there's three stages of demonic activity. Like I was saying, there's infestation when you have the haunting of this house. And that's when you start, that's when it's really starting out. But then when it goes into the oppression stage, where the people are being haunted themselves, they're being attacked, you know, you're dealing with a demon.
Right,
You know
right.
that I know a lot of the times it's portrayed on television that it's human, it's people, but the demons are the one that are going to attack these people. And that's the majority of the cases we end up, you know, as of late, I've been getting hundreds of calls and 99% of them are, you know, people being assaulted. And
you're mostly not dealing with someone who saw their recently passed uncle or grandmother. You're dealing with something that wants to hurt somebody mostly.
Right. Yeah. When we get these calls, it's not, you know, I'm hearing a noise. I think it's a relative or, right. No, these people's lives are being terrorized. They're turned upside down. They're at their wit's end and they have nowhere to turn. That's exactly the state of emergency of the calls that we receive.
So what are some of your more favorite calls or investigations you have over the years? Some of the ones that stuck with you?
We had a Connecticut case, which I mentioned. We had, there was a doctor in Maine, a cardiologist, who was having, he was having some issues going on in the house. He was being assaulted. He was pushed down the stairs one time. So we, you know, we thought we were dealing with some kind of oppression, but it turned out that he was actually possessed. And we didn't realize that till during the case when my wife was actually speaking with him alone. And I had a recorder going at the time. And he actually, when she brought the church up, his eyes changed, his demeanor changed. And he actually, it was basically a different person speaking. You know, I don't know why you're here. I didn't call you here. I don't need you here.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot scarier than Hollywood.
Yeah.
As a possession. And when you hear that, you know, my wife heard it firsthand and I heard it secondhand on the recorder. It is chilling.
And just you telling it to me, I got the chills myself.
Yeah, let me tell you. When I walked in the room and I said, "What's going on?" You could feel the tension with my wife and this man. I said, "What's happening?" And he was a different person. And when I heard on the tape, he was cursing at her. And this was this was a very sweet man, professional, a doctor, kind man. And it was a different man on that tape and on the recording. And I was blown away. And the best part about that case is that when we did the exorcism prayers the next day of the house, we did a minor exorcism. We prayed over him. He was completely healed. He had all these ailments that he was going for surgery. And the man who he was in contact with, who brought us to the case, told me that all his doctor appointments were canceled, that the doctor said, "There's no need. It's gone. Whatever you had, we don't know why, it's gone."
Well, and you don't hear that happening at all.
No. And this man's life, and this is like one of the only cases we've had like this, but this man, his whole life came back together. His family was reunited with him. And he began going to church. His whole life just totally came together. So it was one of the best success stories we've had, you know, that way.
And I know when you guys were contacting us, you said you're in our area in Wayne County, I believe it was.
Yes. And so we recently had a visit there. I would say it was a few weeks ago now. And I'm going to have to make another trip back. So I can't go too much into the details about the specifics, but what I can tell you is, and this is not, you know, I'm a guy who's not dramatic. I won't spice something up for a good story, but what I've seen in that house was probably one of the, there were some terrifying events. I will tell you that. There were some manifestations that I've never seen before in that house in Pennsylvania. What this person's going through is it's right out of Hollywood of how it began. You know, I could tell you generally it was going, you know, when he was younger, going into the wrong, let's just say going into the wrong areas, looking for the wrong kind of, being curious in this, you know, being curious. And I'll tell you this, it's very dangerous to be curious, to go into haunted locations, to look for these spirits. Because you know what? You're going to find them. And if you're not protected, you are, you know, you run the risk of bringing this thing home and destroying your life for many, many years. So this person actually was one of those victims. it was very, it's very strong, whatever's there. So we're going to have to probably make a couple more trips. I can probably, you know, foresee that already.
So when you leave the first time, what are some clues to make you think, like, I definitely have to come back here?
Well, you know.
Do you just, like, the energy? Like, say you're on your last trip and you're like, okay, this house is okay now. You just sort of feel, like, relief?
Yeah, when something is good, you'll know. You know, there's a lot of times, right, we leave and I have a sense. I said this, you know, it's a peaceful feeling in the house, you know, because you do feel the energy. You kind of, after doing it for a while, you get an idea of what's going on.
You try to leave it differently than when you found it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And usually, the blessings will clear the house. The thing is that it can return. And that's a whole theological understanding I explained to the people. You know, it's up to you now. This house is blessed. Whatever's here, we got rid of. We chased away. But you have to do some things yourself to keep it away. Now, you know, there's cases where I know it's going to be a battle. And I know we're coming back. Because, again, what we're involved in, it's much more than going in to investigate and just say, hey, we found we know something's here. I'm trying to come in as a cop. I'm trying to find out, what am I dealing with? What demon? What demonic?
I'm sure that background helps you quite a bit in this field.
It helps me very much. And, you know, because you're looking for the clues. And you know, when I take on a case, I don't just get a little story of what's happening and come in. I sit and talk with them for a couple of hours, and many times before I come, I want to know the whole history. I want to know the family's history, going back even generations. And, you know, basically every time I interview somebody, facts come up that they didn't even realize or remember. And they're very pivotal to knowing what's going on. For instance, you know, if there's a curse placed on somebody, and now we're going back and we realize that there was a curse placed on them when they were in another country, or a neighbor, I've had those. So you got to find the opening, the invitation, whether they invited it in themselves or somebody else invited it, you know, invited the issue to them. Basically, like I said, a curse. So there's a lot that goes into this before I even get to the location. So, yeah.
Yeah. And like you said, I'm sure all that background information helps you in pinpointing how it all started.
Absolutely. Because it all directs how I'm going to handle the case and what I'm looking for and the prayers I'm going to use. You know, we use the Catholic Rite, certain prayers, but I have to know which, you know, what am I looking at here? You know, is it like Connecticut? Is it a house where a satanic witch actually lived there before the occupants moved in? And she was conjuring something up in the attic. Is it something like that? Or is it a curse that's placed specifically? A family maybe went to a witch and had a curse placed on a certain family, which I've had that as well. So I have to know what I'm dealing with in order to know how to, you know, get rid of this. And that's basically the difference between us and the paranormal investigator, is that we're there to get rid of it. I'm not there just to expose it. I'm there to find out what I'm dealing with, because I want to know how to get rid of this thing, how to expel it from the home and from the people's lives if it's attached to them.
Now, out of the investigations you have been on so far, has there been any you just sort of walked into and said, this is too much for me?
Let's see. Well, I mean, you know, there's been very heavy ones. And here's the issue. You know, if it is heavy like that, I will, you know, attempt to call the church, because I'd rather have a priest or an exorcist. You know, mm-hmm. I know my scope of training. I know the scope of the authority I should be using. But I will tell you, the Catholic Church is very weighed down overwhelmed with calls. So the Protestant Church, when you have people who have a Protestant faith, they don't even get involved in this. They won't even touch this. So a lot of times, they could be something. And again, you know, it's funny, we keep going back to the Connecticut case. that seems to have a lot of what you're asking in it. So I actually contacted the Catholic Church during that case because I felt at, I said, I'm going to be, you know, dealing with something that may be a little too much for me alone, because this demon was specifically, like I said, targeting this 4-year-old little girl. There was so much going on with this communications back and forth. The little girl was describing this demon, mimicking the demon, had a name for the demon. So I called the Catholic Church for help in Connecticut. And I you know, I went over the case with one of the priests who was the intake priest. And we both agreed. He agreed this is legitimate. I have a case. He went to the exorcist and the exorcist refused to help. So what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. And, what do you do in that case?
We dug our feet in, we dug our cleats in, and you know, we went through it. And my wife and I stayed with this family, I told you, about 4 times. It got hairy. You know, the activity was, you know, off the charts. It was on the news that the noises recorded going around this house, the smells, the heat, the temperature changes. And, you know, at the end, I can only go by what the family says, and they said they felt relief. And but it was a battle. But, you know, we're not going to leave the family. It's not, you know, it's, you know, it goes into, you know, I guess, you know, my training and what I believe and why I was a cop. I'm not going to leave somebody when they're in need of this.
Right, especially when there's children involved.
Oh, let me tell you, that's the number one thing. Whenever I hear a child's involved, we run. You know, it's no matter what we're doing, if we were in the middle of other cases that aren't as extreme, we're running to a child. And you know, this was a 4-year-old with special needs, the cutest little girl. So, you know, we were going back and forth as much as we had to until we saw this through. And, you know, they felt relief and peace from whatever's there.
And the other stories that sort of stick out with you, you'd like to share with us before we wrap things up?
You know, I had, there's a few, you know, I had, just a touch over them. I mean, it's amazing. You know, it's a very spiritual world. It's a lot of interesting things going on right around us. We had a family in New Jersey who had to leave their house in the middle of the night because water was getting turned on, furniture being thrown across the house. We got involved in it. We went there kind of fast because they were living in a hotel because of this. And one of the sons, who was about 20 years old, was being targeted. And he had an inverted cross actually develop on his forearm out of nowhere.
Wow.
And yeah, it was very interesting. We went there and, you know, we had activity. The lights were going on and off. Stationary fans that weren't plugged in were starting to turn on, like high power. I was reading the prayers. And that's another one. You know, the family, that took a few times. But ultimately, the family, you know, the church was involved with that one, their own parish. And we were able to get them back to their home. And I'm still in contact with that family. And, you know, their life is back to normal. You know, thank God.
And how many visits did that one take?
That took, I think that was 3. And the third one was an overnight where the family stayed, the majority of the family stayed in a hotel. My wife and I took the husband back to the house. I said, you know what? We're going to stay here overnight with you, because my goal was to get this family back in the house. They can't live in a hotel with, you know, with kids. It's just not practical. So we stayed there the whole night. And the way I actually did that was not like I usually do it. And it was just something telling me to do it. We didn't focus on anything in the home. So I didn't try to stir up any activity. I didn't do any prayers. I didn't do anything. We turned the TV on, and I can remember, you know, we turned on Netflix, had Ozark playing all night for this guy. And we had a regular night in the house. Now, I had cameras set up all around the house, and I was watching them. Mm-hmm. You know, Harmony passed out at one point. He was watching TV, and I was, you know, watching it with him. But I was trying to bring a normal sense of life back to the home. Let's not focus on it. Let's not think about it. And I'll tell you, I don't know I can't give you the answer why it worked, but the house was quiet as can be that night. Family came home. I brought them home the next morning. We were there, and everything has been fine ever since. You know, that's, there's different ways sometimes. I can't explain it, but
yeah, you know, but
back in their home.
That does make sense when you don't think about it, you don't give it like that energy to work with.
And that's always a big, you know, that's a big advice. That's big advice I give people as well. When I leave, if you hear something, ignore it. Just like if it's somebody you don't like, you don't want to even acknowledge them. Don't acknowledge it, because sometimes it's this entity trying to work its way back in your life. And if you don't pay it any mind, you're not going to open that door again.
And anybody that might be listening now, and maybe they experience something paranormal, do you give them any tips on making sure it isn't something demonic?
Well, you know, again, just going off the last comment, I tell them, if you hear something, you know, don't ignore. I've had cases where people come to me and said, listen, this is, you know, they had something happen maybe during the night. I said, okay, wait it out. Don't bring us over, because sometimes it does get amped up when we come, because they know we're coming to get rid of this and it turns into some kind of battle. I always warn them that. But I always tell people, whether you think it's demonic or you think it's, you know, a human spirit, there's no reason to contact or talk to it. We're not supposed to. There is nothing gained by talking to a spirit that you think may be in your house. And I always say we err on the side of the demonic, because even if you think it's a relative or a little kid, a little girl, that's what they do. That's a ploy of the demonic to trick you and to open up that door that shouldn't be opened. And that's when people's lives, you know, get a little crazy and activity, you know, it starts all over their lives.
And I guess it's better to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely. So it's kind of like you said, you know, don't pay attention to it, because don't give it any energy. Don't open up that door and just, you know, move on with your life.
I think that's some good advice to anyone listening out there that might be experiencing something.
You know, I've seen that this actually does bring peace to people. And they do focus on the living, and they focus on what they need to get done. I see that, you know, they stay away from these kind of issues. So, yeah, that's the advice I would give.
Well, Chris, you had some very interesting stories and some good tips. I'd like to thank you for joining us.
Dan, thank you. It was a pleasure being on your show.
Pleasure talking to you, Chris.
You too. You have a good day.
You too. Thank you for joining us on the creepy side of NEPA. Before we leave, I'd just like to remind everyone, if you have a story or a suggestion for an upcoming episode, you can contact us anytime at ghost@wnap.com. You could also contact us through our Facebook page, WNAP's Creepy Side of NEPA. Until next time, enjoy the creepy side of NEPA.
This has been the Creepy Side of NEPA. If you have a spooky story that took place in northeastern or central Pennsylvania, send it to ghost@wnap.com for your chance to share it on an upcoming episode. We're dying to hear from you.